Hello.
Hey, Scott. It's Suzanne Del Banco calling from Catalyst for Payment Forum. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Suzanne?
I'm doing well. Thanks for picking up the phone. I am calling today because I learned a little bit about the fact that Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles has been integrating into its electronic health record mechanisms for identifying when there's unnecessary or inappropriate care that is happening, and you know, sort of helping providers avoid making orders for things that may not be beneficial to patients. So that's why I'm calling, and I wanted to just get the gist of, about it from you. But before we get started, I wanted to let you know we've got an audience listening in, and if you don't mind introducing yourself for them, that would be great.
Sure. Thank you, Suzanne. So my name is Scott Weingarten. I'm a consultant to the CEO at Cedars-Sinai, professor of medicine at Cedars-Sinai, and also CEO of a company called Stanson Health, which was acquired by Premier.
Great. And I think we met a million years ago when I was running the Leapfrog Group, and you were with a company called Zinx and working on quality improvement back then, too. What I would like you to start with, just for basics, is what role does the electronic health record play these days in measuring and improving the quality of care, delivered in the hospital or health system setting?
I believe it plays a critically important role. EHRs are now virtually ubiquitous. Physicians use them and other healthcare providers in their offices. They're used universally at hospitals across the country. And it gives one an opportunity to intervene at the point of care when doctors are ordering tests or treatments for patients and advise the doctors and other healthcare providers whether the test or treatment is of high value and could benefit patients or is of low value, and even at times where the harm may exceed the benefits. There's good evidence suggesting that if you intervene at the time of ordering, you are far more effective at changing practice and improving care than if you intervene outside the workflow when care is not being provided.
So can you give me an example of the ways in which the EHR, the electronic health record, has most improved care? Because, I mean, over the years, we've heard all kinds of squabbling about, you know, whether it really ultimately does improve quality. Is it just cumbersome for providers and gets in the way and they kind of ignore what's there? What's, you know, the most positive story you can think of from its lifespan over the last decade or so?
Well, I can tell you the way that we've used EHRs at Cedars-Sinai and a variety of different ways, including enabling high-performing, high-value alerts, letting physicians know when they're about to do something where the harm exceeds the benefits, or they're omitting care that could potentially help a patient. I can give you a personal example where I'm a primary care physician by background. I had a 53-year-old woman who was my patient, and she was a marathon runner. And she used to see me, usually January or February when she was training for the Los Angeles Marathon, and she would have an overuse injury of some sort, ankle, knee. And I would see her for her acute episode, knee pain, ankle pain. And then finally, I saw her 1 year and said, gee, you really need to come see me for a physical exam, which I did, ordered a mammogram, and I found she had breast cancer at that time. And then I noticed I hadn't ordered a mammogram for about 3 years before I saw her. I was very concerned about the omission in mammography in a time frame that was recommended by available evidence-based guidelines. Fortunately, this patient did well. However, it reinforced to me the potential importance of providing alerts or reminders at the point of care, because had an alert popped up that reminded me to suggest to this patient that she have a mammogram, her care would have been provided consistent with the evidence.
On balance, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, given, you know, maybe we're sort of still in the awkward adolescence of electronic health records, you know, across the country, meaning, you know, it's probably still not at a state of perfection. Where do you think we really have seen improvement? And, you know, so you've described how it could theoretically improve, but could you point to an area of care, you know, even just in your context where you practice, that you think has gotten better? You know, following on to that, I'm just curious if you think there are still ways in which it gets in the way of improving care.
Yes. So at Cedars-Sinai, we've seen improvements related to order sets and preference lists, which are checklists, reminding providers at the point of care that some recommended treatment would be advisable for patients because it represents good preventive care, in some cases could save lives, such as ACE inhibitors, ARBs, beta blockers, aldosterone antagonists for patients with heart failure. We've seen benefits and published some results related to alerts at the point of care, improving care. And we've also enabled peer comparison feedback with electronic health record data, clinically granular data derived from EHR, and found that when the data is credible, because it's clinically rich, rather than claims data or administrative data alone, that it has resulted in improvements in care. And there's literature from other organizations supporting benefits for the examples I just shared. Many studies showing benefits of EHRs and clinical decision support in EHRs for improving processes of care. Fewer studies showing improvements in outcomes of care.
So maybe we can segue to a very specific thing that you guys did that I thought was innovative and I knew had been thought about by others, but there was some struggle around how to make it operational, which is, you know, there's this whole movement several years back called Choosing Wisely, where physicians and their specialty societies tried to identify practices that were underway that were really not beneficial to patients and where patients should really question their physician if their physician suggested, you know, that they have a certain test or procedure or, you know, take a certain medicine or whatnot. And big question when that happened was other than patients questioning their physicians, which can be hard for some patients to do, how could this be operationalized? So the fact that you did some work to try to build it into the electronic health record was really interesting to me. So I'm wondering if you could describe anything I left out about Choosing Wisely and talk about why you made the effort to integrate it into the electronic health record.
Well, I think you described Choosing Wisely well, and we thought it was important to inform patient care decisions about the information in Choosing Wisely. And then we sat down and asked how we could do that at scale in a sustainable manner. So we could have educational conferences, but we recognize it's hard to get physicians across a large healthcare system and other providers to attend various educational conferences. And there's information showing that even when we attend educational conferences, we may not remember everything that we heard in those educational conferences. And so we thought that would be an ineffective strategy to implement Choosing Wisely. We then thought about other strategies, such as sending out educational material about Choosing Wisely via email to healthcare providers across the system. But the evidence in our experience was such that few healthcare providers recall the information from emails that are sent to them. They receive, you know, voluminous amounts of information that's potentially useful in emails. So we really could find no evidence that that would work. So we thought the best available, scalable, and sustainable approach to implement Choosing Wisely would be to integrate it at the point of care through the EHR. What do I mean by this? That if a doctor or other healthcare provider was about to order a test or treatment that was in conflict with Choosing Wisely recommendations, where the harm could exceed the benefits, or it was low-value care, the provider would be alerted in real time that what they were about to do was not consistent with the evidence and have the opportunity to cancel the order if they saw fit. We did this with almost 100 Choosing Wisely recommendations in the EHR. We flipped a switch. They all turned on across Cedars-Sinai Health System and then measured the impact on care.
So how did it go? What were the results?
Well, the results were very promising, and we published the results. We found that physicians who followed the Choosing Wisely recommendations had better clinical outcomes and better financial outcomes for their patients, meaning fewer complications, shorter lengths of stay, lower cost per case. Now, we couldn't prove conclusively that the recommendations caused the improvements in patient outcomes and reduction in costs, because we don't know for certain whether it was as a direct result of the physicians seeing the recommendations, or just physicians who practice high-value care also happen to follow Choosing Wisely alerts. And we were able to measure the times when physicians and other healthcare providers saw the Choosing Wisely alert and immediately thereafter canceled the order that they had previously placed for low-value care. And we found a significant number in the aggregate of episodes where a physician ordered a low-value test or medication, saw the alert, there was a link to the evidence supporting the Choosing Wisely recommendation, and canceled the order for low-value care.
So, you know, for employers in many ways, this is sort of the holy grail, because when they think about where their money goes, you know, they hear these broad statistics from big studies about how much waste there is and how much care is inappropriate, and the fact that they're spending money on it is very frustrating, not just because it's their own money, but because it also comes out of the wages, you know, or potential wage increases of their workers. You know, that's very heartening to hear. How next do you think the electronic health record could be used to reduce inappropriate care?
Well, the really exciting application of the electronic health record, in my opinion, is the use of natural language processing, natural language understanding, machine learning, and artificial intelligence to not only look for discrete data elements in the electronic health record, but also read the doctor's notes and be able to interpret the information much better than we do today, and determine when low-value care is about to be recommended, prescribed, ordered, and intervene at that point by providing guidance to clinicians at the point of care. So I am extremely optimistic that this approach of querying the electronic health record, reading doctor's notes, interpreting the information, identifying potential low-value care will lead to significant improvements in quality, reductions in costs that will make care more affordable for patients and employers in the future.
Well, let's hope that comes to pass. I've been following, you know, the implementation of electronic health records for a couple decades now, and there were a lot of bumps in the road, but I think, as you said, they're now ubiquitous. The technology is getting much more sophisticated. And if we can find ways to build all of this into the provider's workflow, the physician's workflow, I think all the studies that have been done on the importance of that suggest that we'll, you know, be able to make much more of an impact. So, Scott, thank you so much for sharing your experience today, and I look forward to tracking, you know, how it goes going forward.
Thank you very much, Suzanne. You have a good afternoon.